Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Top beat is some football, NFL lunch style. A couple of news tidbits before we get to Vinny's breakdown of some individual Lions. New York Jets, no Justin Fields, ruled out against Tampa. Tyrod Taylor, former Raven. Speaking of Virginia Tech, he'll get the start. Reliable quarterback for sure. And then Buffalo getting ready for Miami tomorrow. No Matt Milano or Ed Oliver on defense. I don't know what this means in the big picture for that particular game. Other than Josh Allen's going to wear a face mask because he got his nose all bashed up there, Rocky Marciano style. In the last game.
Probably still score 30.
He said he hadn't wore one since he was at Wyoming, but you know he's rather comfortable with it without it. But there you go. A couple of tidbits for you. But Detroit's coming to town. We talked about this. Ravens historically have owned the Lions. 2 years ago, they came here, and Baltimore beat them up pretty good. They're looking for redemption, but they're coming off a win against Chicago at home, an impressive win. At that, they put 52 on the board. And Vinny, talk about some of these guys that old Zach Gore and Chuck Pagano and John Harbaugh obviously are going to be worried about starting at 8:15 Monday night.
Now, Jared Goff, statistically, he's off the charts right now. I mean, he's 54-67 for basically 81%, Bob, for 559 yards, averaging 8.3 per catch. With six touchdowns, he and Lamar are both tied with the most touchdown passes in the league with six. He's got a pick. He's been sacked four times. He's got a quarterback rating of 125.1. And he's rushed it kind of like Joe Flacco. He's got two rushes for 5 yards. So he does not run. And he is a pocket dude. You know, he just, that's another one. Can't let him get in rhythm. And that's why I think the Ravens are going to have to blitz. You know, and get him out of rhythm. The only problem is the receivers that Detroit has, much better than what Cleveland had. Now, in the running game, Jahmyr Gibbs, 21 rushes for 113 yards. He's averaging 5.4 per carry. And he's got two runs over 20 yards. He's got one touchdown, 13 receptions in two games. He had 10 against Green Bay. For 41 yards. He's averaging 3.2 per catch. And he's got 44 yak yards, 13 targets. So when he catches it, he's not getting a lot. And he's got some negative plays. Otherwise, there's no way that he'd have 44 yak yards. So he's got some negatives. Now, Gibbs and Montgomery, they play two running backs. Gibbs has 21 rushes. Montgomery has 22. Montgomery's rushed for 82 yards. He's averaging 3.7. Now, Gibbs is like a burner, and Montgomery's a pounder. Montgomery's got one touchdown. He's got five catches for 22 yards, and he's got 25 yak yards on five targets. So 18 targets of the 67 are to the two running backs. Now, the main receiver, Amon St. Brown, 13 for 160, averaging 12.3. He's got three touchdowns, two catches over 20, with a yak of 53 with 17 targets. So They're going to throw it to him probably at least nine times Monday night.
Yeah, he could have been a hero of the week offensively for his performance against the Bears last week, too.
Yeah, no question about it, with three touchdowns. And then the other receiver who they just paid, burner, first-round pick, Jameson Williams, he's got six for 131. He's averaging 21.8 with one touchdown. He's got two catches over 20. Yak yards of 56 with nine targets. So he's the home run guy. He's the one that's going to hit the home run. Amon St. Brown, third down, that's him. And then Sam Laporta, the tight end, he's got nine for 105. 11.7 average, one over 20. So, I mean, amongst the three guys, the two receivers and tight end, they got five plays over 20 yards receiving in two games, which is pretty good. And Laporta's got 65 yak yards, and he's got 13 targets. And then Isaac Tesla, he's got two catches for 42 yards. He's made one in each game, and both been spectacular catches.
Yeah, highlight reel stuff.
Yeah, and one touchdown, which was over 20 yards. His yak is 2 yards. Because both ones he caught, you know, he's falling sideways, out of bounds, whatever. So offensively, they've got explosive players. I mean, offense, they're fifth total offense, fifth in pass, 15th in rush, third in points. They're right behind the Ravens. You know, touchdown pass, I said they're first. Sacks, they're 20th. They've given up four. Quarterback rating is third with 125. Rush attempts, 13th. Average per rush is only 4.3. They're not good on third down, Bob. 23rd, 36% offensively. And in penalties, they do not. They're one of the best, least penalized teams in the league right now with 10. Now, on the defensive side, Jack Campbell's their leading tackler, the inside linebacker. He's got 18 tackles. And then after that comes Terrion Arnold with 12 tackles, two pass defense, a corner. To me, whenever I see a corner with a lot of tackles, a lot of balls are being caught on him.
Right.
All right. And then Derek Barnes, their other linebacker, is the third leading tackler, or tied for second with 12 and one tackle for loss. And then the one you talked about earlier, Bob, Brian Branch, got 11 tackles, a sack, three tackles for loss, and a pass defense. So he's a player. He's the second highest paid safety behind Kyle. And then Alex Anzalone, he's got 10 tackles, linebacker, no sacks. And then DJ Reed, the other corner, has got 10 tackles. So, Bob, they got two corners are two of the leading tacklers that they have. So there has been some completions on them. Marcus Davenport, who's questionable for the game, he's got one sack and five tackles. And then Aiden Hutchinson, two tackles, one sack in the game. So... and defensively, Bob, they're 10th overall against the pass, 12th against the rush, 15th. They've allowed 24 points, so they're not great there. Completion percentage, they give up a completion percentage, 67.3. And the average per completion are one of the worst in the league, 7.7. They're one of the worst at giving up touchdown passes. They've given up four. Sacks, they have four. Quarterback rating, how about this? They've given up a quarterback rating of 106.8. And then rush attempts, they're 14th. Average per rush, 14th. Third downs are 25th, almost 48%. So they're not great there. Jake Bates, a kicker, he's 3 of 4. 0 for 1 from 50+. So all of his kicks are inside of 50. 8 of 8 on PATs. And Jack Fox, a punter, they punted 6 times, 48.2 average.
Detroit's coming in here 1-1, just like Baltimore. Ravens are 4.5-point favorites in this game. These are teams with similar goals. Exercise in January, postseason failures. 2 years ago, Detroit should have gotten to the Super Bowl. They blew the lead against San Francisco. Last year, they got housed in the divisional round for the Ravens. 2 years ago, at home, AFC Championship game, couldn't get that high-powered offense going against the KC defense. Then last year they lose the heartbreaker at Buffalo. So two teams, very similar situations. Could this be a possible Super Bowl preview? Don't want to get into hyperbole by any stretch of the imagination, but these are two of arguably the 6-7 best teams in the National Football League, and they will get it on here coming up Monday night on national television. When we come back, Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, will preview week three of the season with him. So stick around for that. And then Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens defense against Cleveland. The Ravens defense, sieve-like in the fourth quarter against Buffalo, pretty strong against the Browns. Is it a combination of being better or the Browns being bad? Or could this be the, you know, a sign that the Ravens D is going to be moving in a much more positive direction, even though they're going to be without Kyle Van Noy and maybe more?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Depending on the result of this game, joining us now to talk about that first 2 weeks, and obviously look ahead to week three from CBSSports.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome in, as we do every Wednesday, Ryan Wilson. Ryan, how you feeling today?
I'm hanging in there. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. We'll start with tomorrow night's game. Not necessarily breaking it down. What do you think of the Bills' defense? But the big picture scenario. We know Buffalo's good, and they're certainly in a strong position in their division, the AFC East. But we go back 2 years ago, we look at the Dolphins as maybe going to be their biggest threat for the next few seasons. That certainly has not come to fruition. After an 0-2 start, not even putting up an effort against the Colts in week one, coming from behind and then kind of letting it get away in week two at home against New England. Mike McDaniel, the future is what? Insert word for him in Miami right now.
Bleak is the first word that comes to mind. And look, man, I give him credit for saying I can't control that stuff, so I'm just focused on trying to make this team better. But, you know, this goes back to last year, and we had conversations coming outside from the locker room about the culture issues, if you will, about how everyone wasn't on the same page. And then, you know, Tyreek Hill speaks out of turn, and he's not a captain this year. He said he wanted to be traded at the end of last year because it wasn't working. Tua looked lost in the first game, the offensive line, and you know, it's not entirely his fault, looked lost. And I don't know where you go from here, because to your point, you're playing the Bills. Now, if you win the game against Buffalo, all is forgiven and you're on the right track. But this team, as you know, Bob, they were supposed to be consistently in the mix to threaten Buffalo. And the concerns we had about them no-showing late once the weather turned has turned into a entire season concern, because they might be, and it might even be a stretch, the worst team in this division. And that includes a Jets team that got manhandled in week two. And the Patriots are a pleasant surprise, and they have their quarterback. But there are so many things that you can point at and say, okay, we got to fix this in Miami, that you just wonder – how much longer is Mike McDaniel going to be in South Florida?
Real quick, remind me why they got rid of Brian Flores again? Because he hurt to his feelings. Wasn't that kind of what happened? Flores going to be one of the most sought after, I would think, assistants for head coaching jobs. Why did Miami get rid of him when it looked like they were on the cusp of getting over the hump with him as the head coach?
Yeah, and that's a good point, because it was a situation where it's either me or him, and you can play either Tua or Brian Flores in this role, and Brian Flores lost. Brian Flores has since admitted that he probably could have handled that situation better and maybe had a little too much Bill Belichick in the way he was trying to coach up that team. And I think he's learned from those lessons. He went to Pittsburgh, and now he's in Minnesota, where that defense has gotten after, and he'll probably get another chance, and a well-deserved one. But, you know, they were trying to bring in Tom Brady, and there was a whole situation there that cost him a draft pick. And, you know, if you had a time machine, shoulda, coulda, woulda. But right now, there are very few reasons for optimism in Miami.
Hey, Ryan, how is the loss of Burrow going to affect the Bengals?
Well, I mean, Jake Browning was 4-3 in seven games he had to play in 2023 when the last injury that plagued Burrow, the wrist injury, knocked him out for the last 2 months of the season. The concern is, so let's say he's out 3 months and you get him back in early December, Joe Burrow. December 7th, they play the Bills. And then you have five more games to figure things out. If you go 5-5 with Jake Browning over this stretch and then Burrow maybe goes 3-2, you'll get to 10 wins and you'll find your way into the playoffs almost certainly. I think it's for the first time in Zach Taylor's tenure, they're 2-0. And that's a huge advantage given that you're losing your best player. But the larger issue is, how is this just going to be a thing that they have to deal with? Because it seems to happen, and it seems to be the freakish, most extreme versions of the injuries we're talking about, like turf toe, immediate surgery 3 months out. The appendectomy that he had was a special case appendectomy that knocked him out for a little bit longer than they thought. Random wrist injury that knocked him out for seven games 2 years ago. And they feel comfortable with Jake Browning, and you could argue that maybe they should invest more in the quarterback position. But it's hard to devote either salary cap space or a high draft pick to a position that you hope doesn't have to play. And I understand what the Bengals have done there. And, you know, hope isn't a plan, but they're certainly hoping that Jake Browning can get them to 5-5 or better should he be their starter for the next 10 games or so.
Hey, Ryan, my wife's a foot and ankle orthopedic surgeon. She doesn't think any ways back in 3 months.
And you know what's funny, Vinny, when that three-month timeline was thrown out there, my first thought was, remember when Aaron Rodgers said he'll be back in 15 minutes after he tore his Achilles and it was a year-and-a-half situation? And obviously this is a different injury, different age, and all that other stuff. But it just feels like Joe Burrow can't catch a break, and it's unfortunate because these are obviously his prime years. They just paid their wide receivers. And the 2-0 start, you have to feel good about, but the Pyrrhic victory is that now you've lost your best player for who knows how long.
Now, Ryan, where is the Pittsburgh run defense?
Oh, my gosh. Man, you and I both are trying to figure that one out. The run game isn't there either. So all the running on either side of the ball is non-existent. They got absolutely torched in week one by Breece Hall, and the Jets looked like the Jets we thought they were going to in week two against the Bills. And then Ken Walker looked exactly like the Ken Walker you thought you were getting when he was drafted out of Michigan State. And it's taken us a while to get to that point. I went back and watched all of the offensive line snaps for Seattle because I was interested in Gray Zabel, their first-round pick. And he was dominating, guys. He looked like Steve Hutchinson out there. And I don't know where the answers are. Now, their first-round pick, Derek Harmon, isn't available because of injury. But he wasn't going to magically solve the run game issues. Cam Hayward's out there. Yaya Black, who they drafted on day three, is struggling a little bit. I don't know where the easy answers are, but here's what's going to happen, especially they're playing the Patriots this week. Guess what the Patriots and Mike Rabel are going to do? They're going to run the ball down your throat until you prove you can stop it. And then you're putting your offense in a situation where you need Aaron Rodgers to push the ball down the field, and I don't think that's a world that anyone wants to live in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Ryan, you know what's sad is Cleveland has an awesome defense, and they have nothing offensive. Oh, Judkins looks like he, you know, has got a chance as a running back, but that defense is very good.
And you're exactly right. It's being wasted. And, I mean, their draft, they actually had a good draft. Talk about Judkins, Harold Fannin Jr., the third-round pick, the tight end out of Bowling Green, had two really good weeks. But you're not going to win games offensively with a really good third-round rookie at playing tight end. Dylan Sampson had a good week, the running back, in week one before Judkins got onto the field. I don't know what the solution is. It's not Joe Flacco long-term, and then the question becomes, what is Dylan Gabriel going to give you? What is Shedeur Sanders going to give you? And that's what you have to figure out. But you don't expect them to come in and play like franchise quarterbacks right away because that's not where they were drafted. And it just feels like it's being wasted. And you wonder how much longer the clock's going to be ticking for the coaching staff in the front office solely because they just can't get the quarterback position right because they've had success drafting guys. And this draft class is actually a pretty good draft class through 2 weeks. But, you know, Joe Flacco isn't taking you to the Super Bowl unless you're hopping in a time machine and going back to 2012 when he was able to do that with the Ravens.
Ryan, bigger surprise, 2-0 Chargers or 0-2 Chiefs?
Chargers, I think. The Chiefs were banged up, and I would be shocked if you told me 2 weeks ago they were going to start 0-2. But the Chargers, who typically like to charger usually later in the season, to go to Brazil and play the way they did, and Justin Herbert finally seems to be unlocking the player that we thought he was going to be, that's incredibly exciting. And, look, you guys know Greg Roman well. he's opened that offense up. And instead of just 3 yards in a cloud of dust, they were slinging it. And then to take it to the Raiders in a game where, again, Justin Herbert looks like the franchise quarterback, that has to be incredibly encouraging. And I think if he's playing with confidence and finds someone who instills more confidence in his players than Jim Harbaugh, this team feels legit. Again, it's 2 weeks in. I think the Saints were 2-0 last season to start the year. They won 4 or 5 games. So, we can slow up on the crazy talk, but I think it's a great start to the season, and I am pretty surprised given how they played in that week 1 game against the Chiefs.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Heading into week 3 of this NFL season, Vinny brought up some 0-2, 2-0s. How about this matchup of 2-0 teams in the NFC West, Cardinals and San Francisco? Can Mac Jones keep the 49ers afloat until old Purdy comes back in all of his glory?
Yeah, it was fun to watch Mac Jones last week because, we talk about fit matters and confidence in your quarterback. Shanahan and Mac Jones were linked back in 2021 in that draft class. They went with Trey Lance, but Mac Jones is certainly much closer to Brock Purdy than he is to Trey Lance. And he was slinging it against the Saints. You could say, well, it's the Saints. Fair enough, but, he was able to go out there and run that offense and run it efficiently, threw 3 touchdowns, threw for 240 yards, I think. I think he can do exactly what Shanahan wants him to do, and maybe he's not quite as accurate as Brock Purdy down the field, but he also hasn't played a lot of football in the last year. So I think he's going to get better. The Cardinals sort of slipped up in the second half and let Bryce Young, the Panthers, get back into it. And you're just always a little fearful of what the Cardinals are going to do late. So I'm all in on Shanahan and Mac Jones and Ricky Pearsall all played well, Juwan Jennings and Christian McCaffrey. And then, get some of those other players back like Brandon Ayuk. And then you start to really get excited about what they're capable of doing.
Hey, Ryan, what's happening to all the top-rated college quarterbacks, man?
Oh, my gosh. So I do the draft podcast with Rand Carthon, and he decreed that we have to quit talking. We cannot talk about Arch Manning anymore, and I'm fine with that because he looks like me playing quarterback against UTEP, and it's not great. Nussmeier has been okay. Klubnik has not been great. Mateer is fun, but can you draft him top 10 pick because of the turnovers? The list goes on and on. I will say next week is going to be fun. Not this weekend, but the next weekend. Penn State plays at Oregon. 2 really good quarterbacks, and we'll get a better sense, perhaps.
Aller is struggling, I think, Ryan.
And they haven't played anyone, Vinny, is the thing. So this is going to be a real test.
Inaccurate is my thing with him.
So, we'll hopefully get a little closer to the answers. But, right, if you have a top 5 pick right now, you're just thankful that the draft isn't tomorrow because there's a lot to sort through at the quarterback position.
What's up with this Fernando Mendoza in Indiana right now? Is he getting any buzz? Big dude putting up big numbers right now for the Hoosiers who have a big game this week.
Yeah, he was fun at Cal last season, and he played behind a terrible offensive line. He had a tight end who transferred injuries. I think I can't remember where he transferred, Texas maybe, and they had a running back. But he did a lot with a little. He's a big arm guy, 6'5". He can move if you want him to, but he's more of a pocket guy. Slow start this year against ODU. But he's a guy that scouts were excited about this summer. And once the schedule starts kicking into gear here, as you're talking about this week, Bob, I think he's going to get on more folks' radar. And he has a chance, man. It's wide open. If he wants to be quarterback one, the ball is in his court. But he physically checks all the boxes. He's supposed to be a great kid. And he has got some good tape from last fall. He just needs to double down on that this year in a much better situation in Indiana.
And how can you not root for a guy named Fernando? He's Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Ryan, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
Here's Ryan Wilson, everybody. We'll come back. Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens defense versus the Browns. Is it real good or real Browns are bad? And they made the Ravens defense look good ahead of this Lions matchup. And then a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. Inside access coming up at 2. Orioles at White Sox, 2:10. Birds going for the swing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted
them, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup. Enter Vinny's Film Room.
Earlier in the show, we were breaking out film for the Baltimore Ravens after the convincing win against the Cleveland Browns to even their record at a game apiece. We talked about the offense after a slow start. Cleveland's defense had a lot to do with it. Started to percolate in the second half, pulling away to win handily. Now we get to the Ravens' defense after a bad second half against Buffalo, fourth quarter in particular, going up against the Browns' offense that didn't do much. But, Vinny, was this a case of a poor Browns' offense or a Ravens' defense making them look that bad? Film study.
Probably combination, Bob. I mean, you saw the first play of the game, they blitzed Roquan on the first play. They were coming after him from the get-go. I mean, the Ravens, defensively, they looked faster. They looked more aggressive. They looked more confident. They were more physical. I mean, and that was – so it was what I thought they were in training camp. That's what they looked, a fast, physical, aggressive defense. And that's how they played. You know, we'll get to Roquan, but up front, I thought Matabike – I think Matabike is playing great the first 2 weeks of the season. And because Travis Jones is getting doubled a lot, and Matabike is getting singled, and he's taking advantage of it. I mean, and what they'll do with him, too, and probably do it this week too, also, is put him on the outside in passing situations because he can bull rush. He's strong, and he's got some quickness and stuff. I think Matabike is playing, you know, I mean, you've got Matabike playing great. You've got Roquan playing great. And you've got Kyle Hamilton. So you got one at every level playing awesome in the first two games right now. Broderick Washington needs to pick it up a little bit. He gets, you know, on like one of the plays in the game, like he gets driven back into Roquan. Then Roquan got nowhere to go. Then he's stuffed. Now, Buchanan, I think Buchanan's going to be the starting inside linebacker. I think he's kind of settled into that position. He looks comfortable. He plays smart. He plays instinctive. He's got really good football smarts. I thought my biggest concern with him was the short arms. You know, it affects him some, but he's a really good football player, and he's strong, and I think he fits really well with Roquan, and he's good in the pass stuff too. Knows where to go and his angles and stuff, and he can run, and he's good on the coverage on the kickoff to a team also. So I really like the way Buchanan is coming along. My biggest concern, Bob, I'm scared death of pass rush. You know, and Vannoy was kicking ass. You know, I mean, they couldn't block him. That right tackle could not block Vannoy all day. You know, and even the play, Bob, that he pulled on the hammy, he ran a twist coming up, and he's free. And then all of a sudden you see him, like, you know, grab that hammy, and then he stopped. So, everybody else, they got to pick it up. And you know, and Ajabo is going to get a chance now. But Owe, got to pick it up, man. They got to start to win some one-on-ones. Mike Green, you know, you played two games as a rookie. He just needs to play faster. To me, he's thinking too much. And the biggest thing is get off. And he's got a great first step. Use it. Use it, you know, and he tries this. He's on the ground way too much. He's getting pushed down too much. He's got to play stronger on that. He just doesn't, like, he's not letting it loose with his pass rush. Because, Bob, I saw him, like, in one-on-ones in training camp. He's wearing out Ronnie. He's wearing out them all. So he can do it. He's got to do it. He had one decent rush where he grabbed Joe's ankle, you know. The other guys now with Tavius Robinson. Tavius is going to try hard, you know, like on the fumble. He got to play there. And he can push you back on a bull rush and stuff, and he'll get a little swim in there. But he's a long strider, you know, so he's not going to beat you with outside speed. So it's going to be interesting because Detroit can throw the hell out of the ball. And if you give him time to throw back there, you know, then it's going to be dangerous. That's why I think they're going to have to blitz. They're going to have to bring people, you know, because Goff, you can't let him sit back there in the pocket. Roquan was spectacular. It's the best I've seen him play. Better than any time last, because last year at this time we were saying, damn, Roquan looks heavy. You know, he's not running that well. I mean, he's running fast as hell right now, and he looks fast. He looks explosive. He's playing like defensive MVP-type player.
Player
right
of the
now.
Week, it was named today. Yeah,
congratulations to him. I thought Nate Wiggins had a good game. I thought Nate Wiggins played much more aggressive. He did miss one tackle, but he made a nice play, you know, on the screen pass. He came up and made a physical play. But he's playing much more aggressive, getting up on people on the line of scrimmage, you know, and we'll see. Is he going to be on Amon St. Brown, or is he going to be on Williams? Probably be on Williams because match speed for speed. I thought Malachi, he got much more involved, feel more comfortable. He had four tackles, you know, and reading things quick and stuff. I thought he was good. Kyle Hamilton just blows people up, man. I mean, his read and react is phenomenal. Plus, his pedal plant drive is awesome. So, I think, kind of like Cordell said, I think we'll see Kyle in the slot some more, you know, and covering people and things, and, you know, not putting him back because they were playing a lot of cover two. I think he's going to probably be more involved if Humphrey is out. You know, Awuzie, I think he's playing good. You know, I mean, he made a nice play on the deep ball down there, and he's had some blitzes and stuff. He's done a nice job, and they're not creating separation on him. He's been a pleasant surprise to me.
All about keeping him healthy. That's been the key to his career.
Yep. He's done a nice job. And Keon Martin, the 8 or 10 snaps that he got, he was involved in all of them. You know, he's quick. He can run. Good plant pedal and drive. You know, he's got suddenness and quickness, and he's got ball skills. And if Humphrey's out, he's probably going to get some more run. TJ Tampa, he's got size and stuff. Tampa made a real nice play. He had a real nice pedal, read the quarterback. It was zone coverage and broke the ball up. That was a hell of a play. And he had one play where he came flying up on the run, you know, and he dove, he missed, but the play had to cut back inside and it didn't gain much. So I think overall the secondary played pretty good, you know. The only thing, Bob, defensively, the only thing that concerns me going forward right now is somebody has got to come to the party as the pass rusher. Who's going to be the guy, you know, and you can't have nobody getting there. That's the problem. Right now it's been Matabike and Van Noy. Van Noy's gone. Now, all right, so do you start doubling Matabike? And they've got three new starters at the guards in the center spot. So maybe that's where, you know, you're going to attack. Because you're not going to attack the right tackle, you know. So you may attack the offensive left tackle.
Yeah, Taylor Decker. Yeah. Sewell and Decker.
Yeah, Penei Sewell is, you know, an all-pro right tackle, and he's a monster of a guy. So, you know, attack Decker on the left side, and you're going to attack the middle. And that's why I think Matabike will be a guy that they'll want to really, you know, study and look at. But the defense, much improved over week one. And we'll see, you know, because they got a hell of a challenge. They got a lot of skilled people, speed running backs, you know, and a power back. You know, they got to win that. They got to win up front. That's what they got to do. They got to win up front on both sides of the ball.
88-81-057 The Fan. We're telling you about the Cubs scored four runs before Pittsburgh recorded an out. It's tied at four. That's why you got to play 27 outs. Tied at four, top of the third in Pittsburgh. If the Cubs win, they clinch a playoff spot here. 2025 Orioles and White Sox get it on at 2:10. We'll come back, give you the Orioles starting lineup as they go for the sweep, and then a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw inside access coming up at 2 here on 105.7 The Fan.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Let's start with this one that says a major regression is coming this year for Odafe Owe. 2024 will stick out as an outlier in his career. He's a product of those around him and the scheme. Not a true winner, one-on-one. Easy decision to let him walk in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, if he gets 7 or 8 sacks, it's not like he's going to have a lot of interest, I wouldn't think. I mean, and that one might be right player, right price. It might, you know, it might not be that expensive, you know, to keep him around.
Yeah, and if there's a regression, there's going to be a relocation for him.
Right.
Looking for a new football home.
Well, I'm wondering with how inflated the pass rush market is that if someone would overpay, that we here in Baltimore would consider it an overpay in free agency. Which, if that happens, we really shouldn't complain because then the Ravens would be in line for a comp pick.
The only thing would be is, all right, you've got an elite pass rush skills coach, you know, and he regressed. I'm like, what's his ceiling? Mm-hmm. That's the thing. You know, if I'm paying this guy a lot of money, what am I expecting? 6-7 sacks? I ain't paying a lot for that.
This one here says DaCosta has shown that he'll be aggressive with in-season trades to try to put a team over the top. I think he has to be working the phones in the coming months to get some pass rush help. Van Noy could still end up being good in the long run, but I just can't rely on him to stay healthy.
Well, they got to rely, you know, they got to hope. They got to hope that Mike Green steps it up here quickly. And then you got to hope that Owe, you know, can do something. Otherwise, you know, Matabike, I keep saying Matabike's been the guy. Otherwise, what you got to do is you got to be blitzing and you got to be bringing people.
And if you're going to swing a trade, who's going to be available?
Yeah.
Well, that becomes more clear, I guess, in the...
Sure.
What is it, week 8? I mean, we got a ways to go. Yeah. Over to the Orioles. Chris here, we're talking blame for this Orioles disappointing season. Chris says, I guess you can point to injuries for why the Orioles didn't make the playoffs this year. But I would include in the scope of injuries, Elias counting on hurt guys to actually be difference makers, mainly Rodriguez and O'Neill.
That's a great point right there, too. And Grayson Rodriguez, everyone thought it was all systems go for spring, and he was pitching in spring training games. I'll remember it vividly. We're sitting here, hey, Grayson's pitching. He went 2 1/3, whatever, but Nolan was getting inside the numbers, if you will. And, yeah, it's great. He went from throwing 98 to 92 on his last pitch or whatever it was. And remember, Grayson said, well, I'm not really ramping it up yet. And then it became a whole thing that cost him the entirety of the season. I was skeptical about the O'Neill signing from the jump. But injuries are a major part, and poor roster construction by Elias had a lot to do with it.
Russell and Frederick, along the same lines, his blame starts at the top with Elias. You have to start with the roster construction, though he isn't willing to ignore the injury factor. As far as Mancelino's future, says actually liked how Mancelino did as the interim, but even still, this team needs a different voice as the long-term manager.
And it's going to be an attractive job. I'm not going to say you're going to have your pick of managerial candidates. Pardon me, because Atlanta's kind of like the Orioles. They're healthy. Watch out for them next year. If Bochy decides to hang up the old managerial hat, that's going to be an attractive job as they're right in a playoff search now. They're 2 years removed from a World Series championship. I mean, they're going to have the other teams that are going to be looking for managers, but Pittsburgh, Colorado, compared to Baltimore, come on, man. No comparison.
So in terms of order of things happening, we thought for the longest time that manager would have to be the first domino to fall just because, like you said, you're competing with other vacancies out there. But now that they need the new GM, what manager wants to come in here with an even more uncertain front office situation? So does that need to be solved before the manager?
Yeah, I would think handle that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm guessing they're already, do they promote from within? Does Sigmundell go from nerd stat king to the GM? I don't know, but Mike Elias is still going to be the guy that decides ultimately who gets the managerial position. Just one of many things that guy's got on his plate in the offseason. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up next. Orioles and White Sox at 2:10. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.